Dun 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 dun.
I forget the rest.
It's dun dun dun.
Oh, there you go.
Dun 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 dun.
I don't even know what you guys are doing.
Welcome to Drive with Woody Fitt. Check it out. Thanks for joining us for this episode. Today on the show, we talk about how to spot reduce fat. Is that even possible?
I don't know.
Find out.
Maybe.
On top of that, we talk about sleeping naked, sleeping in the nude.
Ooh.
Is it weird or is it normal or is it just flat out boring? We also talk about what your body type is, the ectomorph, endomorph, and mesomorph thing, and how that's a myth. And we talk about how to stay motivated. We answer some questions. The first question is, what would you recommend for leg day? That's a good question.
Boom. Roasted.
Who got roasted?
I don't know what that was.
Nobody got roasted. Then we talk about how do you stay motivated, keep fitness. Keep fitness as a lifestyle, not a phase. Michael has some really good input on that, I think.
I mean, learning myself.
Exactly.
So if you hear any weird sounds or whatever, we are currently recording this podcast outside in front of a fire.
At 9 o'clock at night. Losing sleep to bring you quality content.
Amen, brother.
So yeah, you might hear some cars driving by, you might hear a fire crackle, and you might hear Michael walk away to pee in the woods. Anyway, let's get into it.
But what I was going to say is if people like can't have fish or they don't like fish for whatever reason, then taking like a fish oil or an omega-3 supplement would be beneficial.
No, because there's tons of foods that you'd be surprised that have the same vitamins.
Really?
Yeah, you just literally all you have to look up is the RDA.
Or I could argue that some people don't have time to eat. Busy person with a job or whatever, or they travel a lot and they can't get like the healthy foods that have the vitamins and minerals that they need. I was kind of like leaning. So they take the supplements in order to get the nutrients that they can't get from the food.
I mean, that's like a whole nother level though, right? Because they're missing out so much.
Yeah, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah. You're really pushing it.
So you guys asked earlier about how Gianna has been doing since our little hospital trip, and she was fine.
Oh yeah, that's good.
I didn't tell you, Michael, the whole story, but she...
I just kept hearing that she fell.
Yeah, so she was on the couch, and Nikki told her to get off the couch. She was sitting on the back of the couch, and then all of a sudden she fell backwards and smacked her head on the floor.
Ooh.
Yeah, so Nikki called me while I was at work and was trying to get her to calm down. She wouldn't calm down. So Nikki was like, I'm calling the pediatrician. So the pediatrician said, try to get her to calm down, do something to take her mind off of
what just happened.
Yeah. So
she was probably
Nikki,
more scared than anything else.
Oh, right. And well, Nikki took her over to Skylar's, took her over to one of the other neighbors' house, and she still wouldn't calm down. She kept saying she wanted to go home. So she called the pediatrician back again, and the pediatrician said, well, if you can't calm her down, you need to take her to the emergency room. So Nikki packed him up in the car, took him to the emergency room, and I hopped in my car from work and drove right to the emergency room.
What time of day was this?
This was... I got to the emergency room about 4:15, 4:30.
Hmm.
So okay. It was like right in the middle, kind of in the middle,
yeah,
early evening. And so I get there, and Gianna's just sitting on the chair. Like, she looks upset. She's just kind of like whining. So I pick her up, and I'm trying to console her and just try to get her to calm down and like... relax, like, you know. And all of a sudden, I wasn't even there for 10 minutes, and she just barfs all over me.
Oh my gosh, you didn't tell me this.
Yeah, she barfs all over me. It just runs all the way down the side of me.
Oh, that's disgusting.
And like, I'm thinking in my head, like, fuck, she has a concussion. And like, she's 3 and a half. So like, if you know, like a teenager gets a concussion, it's like, okay, like, but like a 3 and a half year old, she can hardly express when she gets a boo-boo, when she gets hurt. I literally just said boo-boo. When she gets hurt, she can hardly express where it's hurting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if she like stubs her toe, she's like, oh, my foot. Like, well, which toe did you stub? And she's not really yet able to express 100% what toe hurts. So it's like, when that happens, like that happened, and I was just like, fuck, she has a concussion. So the doctor immediately ordered a CT scan, and I was like, just thinking to myself, like, please do this fast. Like, please just make, like I don't want to sit here for another hour waiting for the CT scan. Like, I want to know what's happening with my daughter.
Especially if there's bleeding.
Of course, of course. So inflammation in the brain, right? Like, you never know. So the good part about it was very shortly after that, she started to act normal. She was fine.
Oh, thank God.
She was totally fine.
Maybe she just needed to throw up.
Well, that's what I think. Well, anyway, so she was acting fine. We were playing like I Spy in the hospital room, and they did the CT scan, and I immediately asked the tech who ran the scan. I was like, what'd you see? When we were done, she was like, I didn't see anything. She's like, there's no signs of fractures, no signs of bleeding, so you're fine. But we're going to send it to the doctor. The doctor's going to read it, and the doctor has better knowledge on it than I do, mm-hmm. of course, because mm-hmm. she's just like a tech or an assistant, yeah. whatever. So doctor came back after about 45 minutes. Gianna was fine, totally fine, and the doctor said there was no fractures, no signs of bleeding, so we can go home. So that night, I woke her up. Nikki woke her up in the middle of the night just to make sure. And then I woke her up before I left in the morning because I was going to drill.
Mm.
And, yeah, so ever since then, she's been fine. But it was just absolutely terrifying. Like,
oh, can't imagine.
Because, like, when you break your arm, you break a leg or something, it's, like, very acute, right? Like, you know where it is or like, you're bleeding severely. Okay, you stop the bleeding, control the bleeding, and, like you know, your blood will clot and your body will start to heal itself. But with like a head injury like that, especially with a young child that can't really
articulate
express yeah. herself 100% yet, it's absolutely terrifying. So thankfully she's okay, and she's back to her normal self. And actually we were in the car driving, and Nikki had a song. There was a song playing, and in the song it said booty, and
here it goes.
Right? No, so this is the crazy part. So it's the word booty was in the song, and all of a sudden Gianna goes, she goes, Daddy, what does booty mean?
Oh no, she's at that age, she's gonna start asking all these yeah. questions.
And I was like, fuck. So I was like, you know, pirate's booty, the snack that you like.
Oh,
pirate's
call.
Booty.
Yeah. You're not supposed to lie to them.
Yeah,
she's
you
still
are.
Too young. She's still too young.
Yeah.
She's still too young. Well, I mean,
no,
booty's
gonna,
not bad. Like, booty's
go,
really, like, in...
She's going to go to daycare and be like, hey, this is my booty. This is my booty.
Talking about pirate's booty.
Yeah. Megan.
Okay.
I mean, she's, like, listen. Like, on. My whole concept on that kind of stuff is she's going to learn it eventually, but she's still... too young of an age to be able to decide what she can say.
True.
When
mm-hmm.
you know, like, you know, dropping the F-bomb is one thing,
saying booty is another.
Well, saying booty is one thing too, like all curse words are, you know, it's one thing, but you know, it's all, there's a time and a place for everything. So if you can't you know, figure out when is an acceptable time to drop the F-bomb and when is not, you know, I don't of course don't want my kid going to school dropping the F-bomb and whatnot.
No,
of course not. But so
not?
You know, that's why I didn't exactly tell her exactly what booty meant, but like, she's gonna figure it out eventually. And I know Nikki said before, like, yeah, shake your booty, Gianna, like when Gianna's like mm-hmm. doing her dance, shaking her butt.
But
so like,
she didn't know what
she's
it meant.
Not dumb, you know what
no.
I mean,
she's no,
she's
smart.
A smart kid, and she just turned 3 and a half just a couple days ago.
Yeah. Oh, nice. No, today.
Is
today's
it today?
The 16th.
Yeah, today's the 16th. So she's
a
3 and a half. She's 3 and a half today. Jeez.
Why is Megan correcting you?
Listen, I know her birthday. I don't need to know her half birthday. I got the birthday down. That's all I need to know. But talking about booty, there's a lot of like programs and whatnot online to like build your booty, like do this, do that. And something that I get asked.
We've all seen those.
Something that I get asked a lot is how do I lose fat in this specific area? I'll link to the article because this article does a really good job of explaining how to spot burn fat, which is actually impossible. You can't just burn fat in one area.
You're right.
Yeah.
And
I was like, what?
No. It's a huge misconception And that's one of the most common questions that I get from women is, how do I lose weight in this area? And it's like, well, listen, honey, when you were gaining weight, were you purposefully gaining it in a certain area? No. Like, mm-hmm. when you overeat or you're not eating a correct diet and you're gaining weight, your body's just depositing fat where it chooses to deposit the fat.
And in some people, that could be the abdominal area, that could be the arm area, that could be the butt. It could be any of those areas.
Exactly. It could be any of those areas. So you have absolutely no control over where your body deposits the fat. So, like, what makes you think that you have control over where your body burns the fat, essentially, from first? You know what I mean? There is no way. Now, there's some tools. Like, Nikki had bought this, like, abdomen wrap. It's kind of like a vinyl wrap. Yeah, that you put around your stomach.
Really sweaty, right?
Right, and basically that's all it does, is it increases your core body temperature to make you sweat more, which is really just water weight.
It seems uncomfortable.
Well, because I wore it, of course, because I want to try it.
Yeah.
And it's basically like a really wide lifting belt if you wear it properly. So, like, it could give you some support.
It's uncomfortable.
But, I mean, then the problem with that, I think, is that you're going to depend on it. You might not be strengthening your core the way you need to strengthen your core to stabilize you during certain lifts and whatnot. But, you know, it's useful. And there's other things that you can do, like taking pre-workout that increases the core body temperature, taking a thermogenic pre-workout, something that increases your body temperature.
Right.
You know, there's plenty of stuff you can do. Simply caffeine
also
will help.
Some natural way to help if you don't feel like taking pre-workout or a thermogenic supplement or a thermogenic pre-workout or whatever, if you drink ice water throughout the day, that makes your body have to work harder to keep it warm, which will increase your metabolism, which will ultimately help you burn more calories in the end, which will help you lose weight slowly. Slowly, and maybe not as effective as
slowly,
exercise and proper diet.
Slowly is absolutely the best way to lose weight. I mean, there's no better way. Like, losing weight really fast, especially if you're obese, then you have that loose skin. Number one, it's unhealthy, but then you'll have all that loose skin. And, I mean, of course, that looks unattractive, but, like, you know, I will always give somebody props if they
have loose skin.
Right, because it's like, damn, like, you really worked hard, but... You know,
you can
I mean,
get that fixed.
Right. And skin does retain its elasticity, but it retains its elasticity better, I think, when you do everything slowly and correctly, right?
Right.
And that when you take your time, train properly, eat properly, and don't try to rush things, the skin will retain its elasticity much better than if you just hardcore diet, super low calorie, barely drinking any fluids, and you know, 500 to 700 calories a day is all you're consuming.
Yeah.
Getting yourself really close to the point of, like, hey, maybe it's time to go to the hospital because you're such low calorie. But basically, this article explains how we burn fat, and it correlates how we burn fat to how your car uses fuel, basically, which is burns it really slowly. Like, you know, fuel injection. I mean, being in the automotive industry, I know a little bit about how a car works. But, like, the fuel injectors only spray a little bit of fuel in the cylinder at a time for combustion. So that's kind of like the same way your body burns fat. But this article does a really good job of explaining how it all works, and it's a little long about, you know, to kind of like really really dive into it. Especially since we're outside and it's kind of cold. Basically, the study concluded, we recommend muscle endurance resistance training programs that include big muscle groups, which may result in more time-efficient energy expenditure on corporal composition modification.
So, that's a lot of big words.
In little people's terms, in layman's terms that I and you and the listeners can understand, what that is saying is something that I've been telling my clients for years, and something I've been preaching for years, is focus on your four main lifts bench, squat, deadlift, and overhead press, mm-hmm. and lift heavy. Of course, when you first start, don't just jump right in and try to find your one rep max without, of course, getting the correct form, the correct biomechanics down. Yes. I mean, even hiring a trainer to work with you in person at whatever gym you go to, and if you tell them, you know, listen, I'm going to buy 5 sessions with you. I want to do once a week session, and what I want to learn is proper form. Because I want to be self-sufficient, let's say. Okay, mm-hmm. let's say, you know, financially you don't have enough money to continuously pay for a trainer to see them 2 to 3 times a week or even once a week.
I mean, yeah, some save trainers up, are expensive.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like save up. I mean, you could also just get high-speed anabolic when that releases,
yeah.
because that's going to do the exact same thing. But buy a couple sessions with an in-person trainer if you feel the need to work with somebody in person and you can't apply rules and tactics and things on your own, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and have them work with you on your form one-on-one just 5 times once a week for 5 weeks, and I guarantee you, you'll have nailed down the biomechanics of all of these lifts.
Yep.
Especially if you keep practicing, and these lifts are just like any other skill. If you want to get better at them, you have to keep practicing them. So you should be deadlift, bench squat, and deadlift, and overhead press, all of them at least twice a week. Incorporate them twice a week into your routine and really challenge yourself. You know, one day out of the week, go as heavy as you can after you've got the biomechanics down, you've got the form down. And then the other day during the week, go moderate and just kind of do a hypertrophy style
mm-hmm.
lifting with it, and just really, really nail those down, because they're super important,
right?
In
building muscle,
exactly, and burning fat overall, and especially the deadlift. The deadlift is the most, the compound movement that utilizes the most muscle fibers in one movement. That being said, the result you're going to get, the signal you're going to send to your body, is very anabolic. You're going to stimulate the release of testosterone. You're going to stimulate the release of human growth hormone, which I know some of you women that might be listening, that shouldn't, don't be afraid of that, because that's going to help you get lean. You need the testosterone. You need the growth hormone. And naturally, you have less testosterone or less growth hormone mm-hmm. than men. So you absolutely, it's probably even more important for women to be deadlifting, because they need that release of testosterone, they need that release mm-hmm. of growth hormone to really get lean, especially because women just naturally have more body fat than men,
right.
because they're designed to bear children, and you need excess fat mm-hmm. for that, of course.
Voice crack, sorry. Voice crack, go mm-hmm.
What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Well, I think a deadlift is, well, for women, it activates your core, so you can probably get, you know, some shredded abs during it.
I mean, I don't think that that's the only...
It's just sketchy.
Yeah, I know you're that kind of guy that you hey, are everybody. Like, hey, I just deadlift to get abs. Like, number one, that's not going to work for everybody. Number two, all you're doing when you deadlift with your core is stabilization. Your core is stabilizing your spine mm-hmm. so that you don't break your spine when you deadlift. So are you training the muscles? Yeah, in a way, in an isometric way, because they're just contracting, but they're not going through an entire contraction. They're just stabilizing. So if you want to train your core and you want to get shredded abs, you absolutely have to incorporate ab exercises.
Mm-hmm.
Michael.
Yeah, no.
What I was going to say was, especially with going back to the high-speed anabolic program that Nate has Michael and I on, I've noticed a severe, maybe not severe, but a very increased amount of muscle and strength.
Oh my
and
gosh, yes.
Like, it's just like insane what like little rewind the podcast and listen to what Nate says again, and how and what you should do during your lifts in order to get stronger, because that program is amazing, and mm-hmm. when it releases, I hope everyone buys it, because doesn't matter what your goal is, it's going to help you.
Yeah, and that's the whole basis of high-speed anabolic, is to just help people go from 0 to 1, to take that first step into lifting weights, especially with the initial phase, which is can or cannot be part of the program based on your previous experience. Mm-hmm. Now, if I were to throw this program at, like when I threw this program at you guys, I didn't run you through the initial phase. I threw you right into phase one because you guys have years of experience of lifting behind you.
I mean, that was nice. Yeah. Right. I just really wanted to get started. So.
Right. And there was no, like, there was no reason for me to throw phase one at you or the initial phase at you because you had that experience. Mm-hmm. But if I were to take somebody right off the street who has absolutely no experience, yes, you're going in the initial phase and you're going to go through that first to build a solid foundation before you really get going with phase one, two, and three. On top of that, the three phases are designed to take you through each style of training. So the first phase is focused on hypertrophy and really growing the muscle. Mm-hmm. And the second phase is focused on strength. And the third phase is focused on mainly muscular endurance. So by taking people through each of those phases, this correlates into one of the articles that I read this week. But by taking people through each of those phases, they can see how their body reacts to each style of training. Now, this article that I read goes against the body type myth, right? So, ectomorph,
yeah.
Endomorph, and mesomorph. So, if you don't know what that means, an ectomorph is somebody who is a naturally scrawny, skinny person. I am/was an ectomorph. Yeah. I still consider myself an ectomorph.
I always will.
Yeah. But I was always a scrawny dude. I could eat whatever I wanted, no matter what it was. I couldn't gain weight.
It is so frustrating.
Yes. So guys who are ectomorphs and want to get bigger are just battling against their genes, basically, right? Mm-hmm. So like, you know, what they say for ectomorphs is to only train, you know, each, and then, okay, so before I just go into that, I want to finish explaining what they are. So ectomorphs are like that. Then you have endomorphs. Now, endomorphs are people who are generally broad-shouldered. Naturally, they can gain weight fairly easy, but they can also, and it's a little hard for them to lose weight.
It's usually the heavy set, right?
No. That's
well.
Mesomorph.
I was gonna say because that's kind of that kind of sounds like me.
I thought endo was the larger, and then meso was like the naturally, you know, muscular.
Yeah, mesomorph is the short, stocky.
Yeah.
Really strong.
I always thought.
Body type.
Yeah, I always thought endo was like easily, you know, get fat, and then.
Yes, they both can. Endo and mesomorphs.
Oh, really?
Both easily gain weight.
Is meso like the mixture of ecto and endo?
Well, I'll get into that. But
still learning.
But basically, the three body types are that. Ectomorphs, who are skinny, scrawny, hard to gain weight. Endomorphs, who are naturally athletic looking and have a fairly easy time gaining weight, but also a fairly difficult time losing weight. And then you have endomorphs, which are the body type that is short, stocky, generally really
you
strong.
Mean not endo, meso?
Mesomorphs, yes. So mesomorphs are generally short, stocky, generally very strong for their size, and can basically just look at weights and gain weight get stronger, build muscle, but also have a very easy time or very hard time losing the weight. So what it's kind of conventionally known is that you should classify yourself into one of these body types and train that certain way. So each body type has technically, quote unquote, its own way to train, how you should train to best get your body to react. And when we put ourselves in boxes like this and say, I am this body type, I am only this body type, I'm going to train this way, we're severely limiting our potential because, number one, we are all so unique as human beings that none of us fit into a single box. I mean, even just look at race. Whether you feel that race is a social construct or an actual thing, you know, you're not, like, just white. You know what I mean? Like, we all have some genetic cultural background to us mm-hmm. if you go back generations and generations. And that's kind of the same thing with these body types. Nobody is just one body type. We're all a mixture of one or two or even three of the body types. And even in some cases, like, your upper body could be ectomorphic while your lower body is endomorphic. Hmm. And that's just how you are. But you'll never know just by thinking about it. Like, you actually have to study and, like understand genetics and training and, you know, the psychology and the physiology behind it all. But basically what this article goes into is about how training for your body type is an absolute myth, in the sense that you need to find out what your body responds to, have that be your staple of training. So if your body responds to high reps, 12 to 15 to 20 reps with pretty light weight, then you need to make that the basis of your training. Not saying you shouldn't implement the other two, hypertrophy or strength training. You, of course, need to implement both of them. But if your body responds best to that lightweight, high rep type training, that should be your staple. And same with vice versa and verse visa, however. So basically, what the takeaway is, try different things. You have to try different things. You have to try training certain ways. There, when I first started working out, I was like, yeah, I want to get bigger, so I'm just going to do hypertrophy training. I don't need to lift. I don't need to lift heavy. I don't need to do five sets of five or three sets of three. I just need to do hypertrophy training, and that'll make my muscles grow. And that was probably my slowest point in my life for getting bigger and actually making progress. Once I started to implement all three of them, all three ways of training for hypertrophy and strength and muscular endurance, is when I really started to notice significant changes in my body. I'd get more leaner with barely even changing my diet. I'd start to lean out. I could start to see veins in my shoulders when I was training. Mm-hmm. So you have to try different things. You can't just stick with one thing, and you can't just train one certain way and not ever train a different way. Like, you have to try different things. And the article also says that biomechanics and physiology don't change just because of your genetics. Like, squats are amazing for building the legs, right? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if you're an ectomorph or an endomorph or a mesomorph. Squats, if you implement squats correctly, you are absolutely going to build your lower body insanely well with squats, especially if you have good biomechanics. So just because your genetics say you need to do high reps, or you think your genetics tells you you need to do high reps, doesn't mean that that's the case. And I know I succumbed to this myth that I need to train a certain way. And I'm pretty sure you did too, Mike.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because I would look up ectomorph workouts, and I would not gain anything. But then I started doing your program, and I was like, this is nice. Yeah.
I was like, so this you started doing high-speed anabolic.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I can finally see the gains. I'm getting mm-hmm. excited.
Yeah. Dude, your deadlift jumped, like, how many pounds?
From
20 pounds? 20 pounds in the first phase?
Well,
because it was 365, and then you maxed in the first phase and hit 385.
Yeah, then I recently tried 405, but I
hardly got it. And we're what? We are like 10 weeks in.
Yeah. Like, it's...
Yeah,
like,
we're exactly 10 weeks in, and your max has gone from 365. You've put almost 40 pounds...
Which is pretty insane.
...on your max in 10 weeks.
Which is insane.
That is pretty wild.
Yeah, but it's not, like, just my max, like, my reps as well. Like, instead of doing, like, I used to be doing, like, 225 for 5x5 for the deadlifts, but, like, now I'm doing 315, and that's a huge jump to doing 5x5.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Adding 90 pounds to what you're doing your working sets at for five sets of five, that's insane.
And that makes you feel a little bit better than, like, just your max.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, like, I'm like,
because you're doing
heavy.
You're not just like lifting it once, like you are doing working
doing it
sets
consistently
with it, which is exactly I've been very pleased with how the results from high speed anabolic have been coming
from
all of the test subjects. I have been absolutely blown away.
Groundbreaking.
It is. It really is one of a kind. It is a one of a kind program.
Yeah, but you got to work hard too.
Of course, yeah. You can't.
Like, there's some days where I'm gonna throw up.
You have to put in the work. You have.
And you
to
can't
put
just
in
fudge the numbers, because going back and looking at what the previous week, or like what you did back in week 4, mm-hmm. compared to what you did back in, or what you did in week 10.
Right.
If you fudge the numbers, it's not going
to
be.
It's really setting up to be a solid tool for people. You know, whether you have zero experience or you have a year or 2 years of experience and you just feel like you're stuck, this program is definitely going to open your eyes, really. Mm-hmm. And the goal with it is also to make people self-sufficient, to get them to be self-sufficient and be able to run through it once, run through it twice, and, you know, be able to take care of their own training,
mm-hmm.
you know, and be able to write their own program.
Right.
And what the thing that's got me most excited about it is the mobile club that I actually need to get you guys to be admins of, because you guys are going to be admins of the mobile club with me to answer questions and help people.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, definitely. So what that is a closed group, of course. You download an app for it. You download the Wix app, and you can only join the mobile club if you buy the program. But you get lifetime access to the mobile club, and you can take at any time, go back to the mobile club, post a question, just like Facebook, just like, you know, Twitter, whatever, and people can reply to your question.
That's awesome.
So not only does it give people a resource to be able to reach out to us directly, but it also gives people who are learning and have learned the ability to help people who are learning as well. And maybe Joe Schmo's been doing high speed anabolic type training for a year, and Jane Doe is just starting. Joe Schmo can then help Jane Doe. You
or
know what I'm saying?
Or like
I was like, whoa.
Very unique names.
Or like Diane. What is it? Diane Schmo can help Jane Doe because
she's a girl. Right.
The
program doesn't change whether you're a boy or a girl.
Yeah.
The program is the program. And it's, you know, the same concept based on males, females. It's just more important for females because most of them don't want to get big, so they're going to stray away from deadlifting and doing, you know.
Which you won't get huge.
Oh, no. And women can't. Women just naturally cannot get huge. They just can't.
When I post
yes.
But those are like the elites.
But number one, those are genetic freaks. Like, number one, hands down, their genetics are just not the same as other women's.
I mean, yeah, there's this one woman, I think, what's her name? Steffi Cohen?
I don't know.
She pulls like over 500 pounds deadlift.
I'm not
like
saying, and I'm not saying it's not possible.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's not possible, because it is, and they're out there, and they're beasts, and I have so much appreciation for them. Don't get me wrong. I am not shit-talking here. But number two, sometimes they're on anabolic steroids. You have to accept that fact. Not all of them. I'm not saying all of them are, but you have to accept the fact that some of them have taken steroids before. And number three, they've got years and years and years of training. Most of them have probably worked with a trainer in the past, if not are still currently working with a trainer. So you need to understand that number one, they've got the best quality training that they can get. They've got somebody watching what they do from an outsider's perspective saying, okay, you know what? It's time to change things up now.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to do this, or we're not going to do this, we're going to do that. So you got to take all of that into mind
right.
when talking about women lifting weights and getting big and getting bulky.
Mm-hmm.
True.
So
it's just a myth.
It is an absolute myth.
And when I post my before and after pictures, like of the high speed anabolic towards the end, I'm not bulky. I may be bigger than, you know,
like you might look bigger
on the soccer team, for example. They always are like, "Oh, Meg, you're so jacked. You're like freaking huge." And I'm like, "Well, I mean, compared to whatever this woman's name is." That Michelle. Michael was talking about.
Oh, Steffi.
You're small.
I'm tiny.
You're tiny. Yeah, right. Like, but like you're stronger than your other.
I'm stronger than the average Schmo.
Well, you're stronger than your teammates on your soccer team. I'm sure.
True.
I'm sure you could rough them up very easily.
Absolutely, I am.
But here's the bigger question.
The size of my arms are their legs.
That's
for a soccer team. That's insane.
That's pretty insane. Yeah, I mean, volleyball players have amazing bodies, but like
the tall
lower bodies, they have nice lower bodies because they do a lot of squats. But like for you in your situation, like not even in your situation, just in general, think about that concept. Would you rather be strong and able or weak and unable? Real
around.
Shit. In every aspect of life. Would you rather, and this is me, I'm mainly speaking to women with this. Would you rather be strong and able to handle yourself in any physical situation pretty much, or weak and unable and have to depend on other people? I mean,
true.
Fuck, like I would, if I was a woman, I would want to know I could handle my shit.
Mm-hmm. Or when, like, my husband is at work, like, I want to know that I can move this dresser across the room because I want to remodel the living room.
Hell yeah. and get my my inner stylist going. No, like, seriously. And this is something that I am super passionate about because I have yet to get mom on the boat, on the weight training boat, on the resistance training boat. And she keeps feeding me these bullshit excuses. And I'm like, Mom.
Damn it, Mom.
I know. I'm literally like, Mom, all of these excuses you're handing me are going to go away when you start lifting weights.
No.
Like, why can't you see this?
It'll feel so good. Trust me.
It will feel good, but I can understand where she's coming from, especially with Roxy just having surgery. And
of
she
course.
Just literally
well, yeah.
has
well, now,
absolutely
no, definitely
no time.
Not.
Of course. When she,
don't
when you're, I get when you're that busy and whatnot, but. You know, that's my goal personally for the next year is to really try to just get mom on the boat with the resistance training. And I might even set her up with one of my clients because just to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, he understands, like, it's important when you get older that you have to be, like, resistance training is the fountain of youth. Resistance training, and of course there's nothing that's going to make you live forever, but resistance training, there's been studies that shown when you implement resistance training and you lift weights, your possibility for all-cause mortality drops significantly. Significantly.
I believe it.
And you can prevent chronic disease. So if you could prevent chronic disease, why wouldn't you do it?
And if you
willingly.
Could be happy
yeah.
with doing something that costs $10 a month.
Not even, because fitness is free, bro.
True.
You could
just
do
go
calisthenics.
And run in the park.
You could do calisthenics. You could do body
stop,
weight.
Megan.
Yeah.
Stop. Well, I'm just
stop,
wrong after
stop,
wrong answer.
Stop
running
pushing.
Hurts.
No, stop
running
pushing
hurts.
your inner cardio bunny.
Soccer team.
Cardio.
that's why they're.
If you want to get better at running, not if you want to lose fat. We're gonna have to do a whole nother podcast about that because I know some listeners just probably partially had their mind blown
mm-hmm.
by that sentence and want to know mm-hmm. why.
And now you're reevaluating your life.
And you're probably thinking to yourself, maybe I should stop running and start lifting weights. And you should listen to that.
Running
listen
sucks.
Listen to that inner question. Listen to that
running
inner me.
Running sucks so much.
Running is freaking terrible. The only thing running is good for is if you want to get better at running.
Yeah. I mean, sprints. Sprints are good.
Sprints are different than running.
Different.
Different than running, though. Look at a sprinter compared to a long-distance runner.
Oh, yeah, their thighs. They're like, poof.
Massive.
I know.
Sprinter Usain Bolt is shredded.
Sorry.
That sound effect was amazing.
So
geeking out over thighs.
Totally geeking out over thighs. So you know,
cause you ain't
okay,
got none.
Okay, I have this
son. I got those inner ones. They're coming. I think it's from deadlifts. Deadlifts have really
probably.
Been helping my hammies get fat.
Well, you do recruit your deadlifts into that. So alright, I have a pretty good question for you guys. So how do you sleep? Like, legit, what do you wear when you go to sleep?
Oh.
Do you wear anything?
Okay, well, this is uncomfortable.
I have no problem telling the world how I sleep.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, well, now that the weather's getting colder, and especially, like, when you sleep next to someone,
yeah,
the body heat transfer is partly how you keep warm. So, for example, now that the weather's colder, I'll wear, like, long pants, pajama pants,
mm-hmm.
and then a short sleeve shirt because Michael's hot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Physically and metaphorically.
I would take that compliment.
Both. And I wear socks, too, because my feet get cold.
See, I'm kind of different, though. Like, I like my feet out with no socks, Because, I don't know, it just feels nice.
Dude, so that you can scratch me with your long ass toenails.
Savage.
I clip them, man.
I remember when I was a kid, my dad would not let me wear socks to bed. And I was like, why? Mom wears socks. He was like, because women have different hormones than men. And ever since that day, I never wear socks to bed.
Wow.
I can't. That's
so interesting.
I can't get myself to wear socks to bed
I just
now.
Feel like if I wear socks, it just heats me up for
some
reason.
No,
I get so
I'm not
hot.
Because
like,
I get cold. I don't know.
I can't do the socks thing. No. I can't do the socks thing.
Okay, well, what else do
you
wear,
you're barefoot?
Michael?
Okay, Mike, you're barefoot.
Yeah, barefoot. And I just take it out of the blanket sometimes. It feels nice. Got my window open.
Nice,
the
cool
breeze
on your pinky toe.
I'm like, ooh. All right, that's kind of weird. But sometimes, I know, like, now I'm wearing, like, pajama pants and, like, it depends on long sleeve or short sleeve. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Dude, maybe I'm weird, but, like, I sleep in my birthday suit. Full-on birthday suit.
That
nothing.
Is, actually, I've read that that is very healthy.
That's the article
I
that I'm
the same
up.
Thing.
Not, maybe not the one you read, but, like, I have to be in my birthday suit. I cannot, you know, I have a tough time sleeping at drill. Just sleeping in my boxers. No, legit, because, like, you know.
I mean, you could sleep in your birthday suit. Like, who cares? It's
that'd
Army.
Be so
and if,
funny.
Right. Well, the only reason I have an issue with that, and some people might have an issue with that, is sometimes people stay up late and drink, and females are in the male barracks, and it's like,
oh,
you know.
That's not
like,
good.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's not
no,
even
they,
right.
They don't
you can't do
give
that.
A shit.
Yeah.
It's funny, because they don't give a shit about that, but you know damn well if a male was in a female barracks just trying to hang out, there would be a big uproar. But anyway, we don't have to talk about that. So this article talks about how sleeping naked, they did a study on sleeping naked will actually improve your health overall. It's much more intimate, especially if you're sleeping with a partner, of course, because you're both buck naked and
easy access.
It
sound like just bad.
No, there's literally so no resistance.
Fear.
So I'll link to this article, but it's not loading right now. So unfortunately, I can't really delve into it, and I didn't take notes before recording this.
I mean,
episode.
Why look into it?
Like, so I feel like a piece of shit.
I feel
but
like
anyway,
sleep
anyway,
naked, sleep
take
well.
My word for it. Take my word for it from experience.
And honestly, I think even if you're kind of like, I don't know, like my mom might walk in or
like, dude,
like,
that's why you have blankets.
My dog
bro.
Might lick my balls or something. Just give it a shot. You know, give it a shot for like
no,
a week.
No, definitely. So I've been sleeping naked for years now, and I 100% would not go back. 100% would not start wearing clothes again.
Do you feel like you get, or that you get like more cold?
No.
Because there's more skin?
No. My sleep is better. 100%, my sleep is 10 times better now than when I would wear pajama pants or something. Because I hate when my pants bunch up on me.
Oh,
I hate
exactly.
when my underwear bunches
wedgie.
Up on me.
You get mad.
Just,
you're like,
yeah.
It's
I'm
like
motherfucker, I woke up for this.
You get
God,
so
son of a bitch.
Angry, too.
Yes.
It's so weird. You're like,
yes. Yo, I need to remember to mark. I need to remember to mark this episode explicit, because I've been forgetting to do that, and we've been dropping some mad curse words.
No, not
I mean,
we. Just you.
Just for the podcast. Like, the whole podcast fine. Itself.
Just
is,
the whole podcast is explicit.
Like, why?
Anyway, no, because I don't give a fuck. Anyway, so, yeah, start sleeping naked if you want to get really freaking good sleep.
Wait, time out.
What?
If you wake up in the middle of the night and you're, you know, birthday suit and you have to go to the bathroom, do you throw on clothes or you just, hey, everybody?
I have a bathroom in my bedroom.
And you just hope that your mom kicked
your
door
see,
closed.
Yeah, see, me, I'd have to
but, yeah,
open
so
my
if
door
I was,
and cross
yo,
rooms.
Yeah, check it out. So if I was, when I was living with my mom, when I was living at home with my parents, if I had to get up in the middle of the night to pee or whatever, for whatever reason, and I had to walk down the hall, yeah, I would throw a pair of underwear on. Of course. I'm not gonna walk around living with my parents buck naked, but like in my own house, I do a lot of stuff naked in my own house. It's pretty cool. Just wait till you guys buy a house and you can start doing stuff like that. Like, I'll walk downstairs in the middle of the night or like before I go to bed and I'm butt naked, and like, you know how the front door is glass, but it's like got the designs in it so you can't,
so you
really,
can't
see
really see
it.
See.
I'm like, yo, somebody's
you
looking through this front
butt.
Door looking at my like crooked butt through the grass. Through
crooked
the glass.
Butt.
Well, because the it's glass changes the
oh,
light.
I'm like,
whatever.
Nate, do you have a all problem?
Right. No, listen, yeah.
His form's off.
I only squat with my right side. I don't squat with my left side anymore.
Oh, interesting.
Anyway.
Yeah, I was trying to move the
flames. I just saw middle finger.
I was trying to move the flames, everybody, and I burned my finger. No, I was trying.
This is edited.
No, yeah, I hope you keep this part because it's a good story. But I was trying to move the log, and I was like, it's black. It's like, because of the fire back on Sunday night. It's black. It can't be hot. Durr, idiot, Megan. It was hot as fuck.
It's burnt. So you just grab the burnt part, and you're like,
yeah, but it was cool. Burnt because of the last fire. So I was like, it's not hot now. It was hot on Sunday, yeah. But it's not hot now.
How hot is a campfire? Oh, like 120 degrees Fahrenheit.
I remember.
Looks it up. It's like it's 2,000.
2,100 degrees Fahrenheit. I was like, Michael, is this in Celsius or Fahrenheit?
Like Fahrenheit.
What am I doing?
Let's get to the questions.
All right, so here we go with questions. And Mark says, what would you recommend for leg day?
Ooh.
This is a pretty broad question.
This is
Mark.
A pretty broad question. But
are we going with like a workout for the day or just, you know, key exercises?
Let's go around the horn. What would you...
Like, what's our favorite ones?
Yeah, what would you implement? What's your favorite things to do on leg day?
Okay.
Squat. That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
I mean, we can all agree. Squat.
Yes, yeah, like, 100%.
We have to.
Squat is the first. Like, you always squat on leg day.
I mean, you can change up your form to, like, target.
Right.
Your hamstrings more, your quads more.
Right. And I think even if you're kind of, like, new to the fitness world and you, like, haven't squatted or whatever, I'd focus on just, like...
Form
first, but also keeping your legs shoulder width instead of like playing around with
don't do that crazy form yeah,
because then that just gets stance. To be like, then you're gonna hit muscles that you've never used before.
Oh, you would cramp
and you will die. I've had people who like never do leg day or like don't do a hard leg day.
I mean, most people, I would say most people just skip leg day. Because it makes you feel nauseous, doesn't it?
I think a lot of people do because they don't like to push themselves.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's like for squatting, it's like some people are scared because of safety.
True. And like, if they don't have the bell.
Yeah, 100%.
Because like sometimes I don't go heavy on squat because I'm like, I'm by myself. But I use the bars, you know, the safety bars on the
squat
rack.
Machine. Yeah.
You have to. You absolutely have to. If you're not squatting with a partner... You absolutely have to use the safeties. I mean, mm-hmm. Don't be a fucking idiot.
You should even use the safeties, even if you have a partner, because sometimes that partner might be
of course.
In their own
mind.
Yeah,
you see those powerlifting videos where the guys don't catch the weight and falls and he injures himself?
Yeah.
Broken ankle?
All the time.
It's gross.
What's the point of having a spotter if they're not going to actually spot you?
Good friends.
Exactly. Something that I like to incorporate into leg day, after like going back to the booty thing, and I was like, oh, yeah, I want a big booty, and I'm going to grow it by squatting and doing other sorts of stuff. I really enjoy the internet might call Bulgarian split squats or, like, single leg squats.
Yep.
I freaking love those because, number one, if you, like, slow down when you're actually performing the exercise, you're hitting, again, the muscles that you never actually use when you're, like, heavy squatting or just squatting in general, and you don't realize that you don't use them until the next day you wake up and you physically cannot get out of bed because you're so sore.
Yeah.
So Mark, I would
suggest, which is not necessarily a good thing. Let's
not necessarily. However, to me, pain is good because it just means that I'm building muscle. But Mark, I would suggest Bulgarian split squats as my favorite leg day exercise.
Definitely. Of course, we already agreed squats are 100% on leg day. But something that I like to implement is walking barbell lunges and like really load the weight on there and focus on doing a very challenging weight, like 4 to 6 reps on each leg.
Damn.
So 8 lunges total, 12 lunges at the max.
That's heavy.
You put it 135 on the bar and go do some walking barbell lunges, you're really gonna target your glutes. So not only is that gonna help to build your butt,
get that stretch, that's why.
And you're really going to target the quads very, very well. I feel like I can target my quads better doing walking barbell lunges than I can with leg extensions.
Interesting.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. Hands down. And I know it sounds weird. I know it sounds weird, but I definitely can target the quads better doing walking heavy barbell lunges than than leg extensions. And I'm not saying leg extensions are bad, you shouldn't do them, but definitely, definitely throw in compound movements. Like if you're short on, especially if you're short on time, which is something that a lot of us are. Mm-hmm. So if you're short on time, this is how I would structure a solid leg day workout. Squats, heavy barbell squats, Romanian deadlifts, or some other hamstring exercise. I wouldn't do leg curls. I would do a compound movement like deadlifts or Romanian deadlifts. Mm. Okay. And then after that, I would do barbell, walking barbell lunges, or another quad exercise of your choice, like your Bulgarian split squats. So the third exercise. So you're going from quads, hamstrings, quads, hamstrings. Four exercises is all you're doing. Okay. Quad ham, quad ham. Barbell squats, Romanian deadlifts, or some form of deadlifts to hit the hamstrings. Then I would do a accessory movement for the quads. So like Bulgarian split squats, barbell walking lunges, leg extensions. And then the fourth exercise is going to be an accessory movement on your quads. And that's going to be like, the fourth exercise is going to be an accessory on your hamstrings.
Yes.
So like seated leg curls, Russian leg curls, Romanian deadlifts, single leg dumbbell deadlifts to hit some stability as well.
I love those. I would highly recommend those.
Depending on how much time you have to do your workout, if you have a half hour, you have 45 minutes, or if you have 20 minutes, that's going to dictate how many sets you do, but it doesn't necessarily have to dictate how heavy or light you go. Okay, so even if you have a short amount of time, you could do some heavy singles on squats, move right into some Romanian deadlifts, do 3 to 5 reps on them. You know what I'm saying? So rep range is going to be contingent on what you want to do. And then how many sets you do should be contingent on how much time you have. So if you're really crammed for time, just do less sets. If you have enough time, you have an hour and a half, really load up the volume and mm-hmm. the intensity.
Mm-hmm. Quick thing. I'm going to add my leg thing.
Go. Go.
All right. Well, there's one thing that you guys didn't add, but I like to add. But, like, this is for people who have time at the gym, who are focusing on, like, you know, really building it. But I like to hit calves because people forget calves a lot. And I would say really focus on calves. And I like to change my form from, toes pointed in and straight and then out. And then just doing like 10 sets of each. It's a quick exercise, but it really burns.
What I'm starting to do with calves is instead of just doing them on leg day, I'm trying to preface all of my workouts, at least 3 workouts a week, with 4 to 5 sets of calf raises.
No, you're really trying to grow.
Right? I am really trying. I mean, I'm doing a bad job at it because I think it's been like 3 days since I've done calves. But like, I'm trying to implement frequency. I'm trying to do them regularly, 3 to 4 times a week, and just preface all my workouts, whatever I'm doing, with calf raises. Mm-hmm. Get it done first. Get it done out of the way. I hate training calves. I think it's a stupid exercise.
Oh, but
I have tiny fucking calves.
That's probably why you
hate
them.
And I
got to
fucking deal with it.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to get them to grow. I'm really, you know, just trying to focus on implementing frequency and...
I think
that's important. That's important with anything. If you want anywhere to grow, is implementing frequency.
Yeah.
All right, Meg. What's the next question?
All right. Chris says, "How do you keep motivated, and how do you keep fitness/working out a lifestyle and not a phase?"
This is a good one because I was having this really problem
good
as well.
One. Yeah, this is a motivation. Really good one, and I think what it boils down to, at the essence, at the most basic form of this question. How do you stay motivated? How do you keep it a lifestyle and not a phase? Okay. Motivation is fleeting. Motivation comes and it goes. It does not stay. All of the fit pros and personal trainers and people you see that are doing a lot and have been doing a lot for a long time, most of the time are not motivated. Do you think I'm motivated to get up on my Saturday morning and edit content for the business and edit this podcast and edit videos that are going to post? No. Saturday is the day I don't go to my day job. I want to sleep, right? Mm-hmm. But I have the discipline to get up and do it because I know long term that's what I want. So it's not motivation that's going to keep you going. Motivation is a tool that you can use. And you can and should use it wisely. But what's going to keep you going and keep fitness as a lifestyle and not as a phase is discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And telling yourself, this is me now. This is the new me. I work out. I make myself a priority. My health is now a priority. I am changing. I am not the same person fundamentally. I am fundamentally different now than I was before making this decision. And this decision can happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
You can make these statements to yourself overnight. I am a new person. I am starting now. And I will make this change. And what it comes down to is discipline. Now, of course, you can't just make a 180-degree turn and change your whole life around and expect it to work
mm-hmm.
just by telling yourself this. What comes from this, the way that you are over time able to do a 180-degree turn is by being disciplined with little things first, right? So if you have an issue with drinking and you have a bunch of other issues, overeating, drinking, smoking, whatnot, change one thing at a time. Cut down on drinking. Don't worry about how much you smoke. Don't worry about how much you overeat. Change one thing at a time. Be consistent with it. Have discipline. Have the self-discipline to say no. Because when you have the self-discipline to say no, there's a lot of growth there. Every time you say no, there's a lot of growth. Physically and mentally, psychologically, spiritually, in every aspect of fitness, there's a lot of growth when you say no. And when you say, no, I am not doing this anymore, or I am holding off from that, there's a lot of growth. And it becomes easier to say no again and to say no again.
Mm-hmm.
And it snowballs, just like anything else. It snowballs. So start with the little things. Be disciplined with the little things. Don't stress about the big things. And then over time, start to chip away at the big things. And eventually, it will all become part of your lifestyle, and it is just a thing you do. Prime example, Monday was our anniversary, 2 years married, okay? We were going out to dinner. I left work early to come home so we could go out to dinner. But she understood that working out after work is part of my lifestyle. It is me. It is who I am. I cannot not work out on a day that I have scheduled myself to work out. Because it is who I am. It has nothing to do with this business. It has nothing to do with being a personal. I mean, I guess it kind of does. But it is who I am. Okay? That is me. I come home from work. I get my workout in. It was scheduled. I am supposed to. So I do that before anything.
Right.
Before going anywhere. Before doing anything. Okay? I fit it in when I know I will do it. I schedule it for when I know I will do it. So you need to be very, very conscious of this as you try to make fitness a lifestyle instead of a phase and how you stay motivated. Use motivation when it comes. Don't worry about creating your own motivation. Use it when it happens naturally. Use it when it happens organically. What you need to focus on day to day is the self-discipline, and you start with the little things.
So, can I say something?
Of course. Is that okay? Yeah, of course. I'm done.
Oh, I feel like
I finished.
Just dropped the mic there.
That is.
Yeah, he sat back and he was like, "Okay, this podcast is over."
I mean, he was like, "That was motivating just to listen to." I was like, "Oh, dude, I needed that."
Thank you. I need to go to the gym now.
Cool.
But what I was gonna say for those people out there that like to have numbers, I always tell people it takes 21 days to make a habit. And it takes 90 days to make a lifestyle. So if you can work hard for 3 weeks and just go to the gym, like Nate says, every day after work or wake up early in the morning, do it. And it becomes a habit. And you'll get like me where, you know, I'm doing this high-speed anabolic training and usually it's on Wednesdays. It's a rest day. It's a rehab day. So you're just stretching. And I wake up and I'm like, damn. I don't get to go to the gym today because I just have to stretch. And it's depressing to me. So I go to the gym. I go to the gym anyway, and I stretch there because that is the lifestyle that I have made for myself. So even if you wake up one morning and you're like, damn, I do not want to go to the gym today. I don't feel like working out. And that's okay. Because some days you just have a bad day at work, or you fight with your wife or fight with your husband and you just need to take a couple days off. Sometimes, and Michael can attest to this, sometimes he'll and me will take a couple days off from the gym, and then when we go back to the gym, we're better.
Well, I would say that's due to like
just like
a
rest.
Minor injury.
Just like rest.
Well, no, hands down. Taking 2 weeks off, you go back, you're going to blow up. Your body's going to respond.
Right.
Your body's going to respond like it never has.
And then you'll be motivated to come back because you're like, damn, look at this results.
Now, I definitely wouldn't do that if I was a beginner.
True.
Oh, you got to already have the skin in the game. It already has to be a lifestyle for you. But yes, you can definitely do that.
True.
If it's already a lifestyle.
And I would also argue that, you know, especially for me, going to the gym and working out is a stress reliever. And if I don't do that, like on my rest days or on days that I have a soccer game or whatever, I feel depressed. And I use the gym as how I deal with environmental stresses, school stresses, relationship stresses. I just use it and I block everything out and I'm just there for an hour or 40 minutes or however long I'm there. And I don't think about anything but bettering myself and making myself more healthy. End of rant.
I would say just 100%. Surround yourself with people that motivate you, right? Like you guys motivate me, especially Megan. No offense, but she's there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you are who you surround yourself with. You become them.
I would say that's the best way for me to get motivated is by surrounding myself with the right kind of people.
Because
other people who do not want to go to the gym will bring you down. Without
and convince you to not go to the gym.
Or lazy people in general.
Exactly.
My brother.
I wasn't going to name names,
I'm
going to
call him out. That's what killed me in like the beginning. I'd always be like, hey, man, you want to go to the gym? And he'd be like, yeah, let me just take this hour nap. I'm like, okay. And an hour later, I'd be like, hey, man, you want to go to the gym? He's like,
no.
I'm not going. And I'm like, all right. Well,
I'm tired.
Yeah, he's like, well, I can
lame.
Go.
Damn. All right. Well, if you don't want to be like Gordon and you want to get some solid personal training and free fitness guides that we have over at the website, we have the basic training guide you can download. It's a basic guide to kind of help you get on your feet. 12-week program you can do. All you get is that. Head over to the website, executivefitllc.com. Scroll all the way down to the bottom. Enter your email in the newsletter subscription tab. And that workout as well, or that program, as well as the Arm 240 Bravo workout, the best workout to build your arms, make them swole.
Hua hua.
You get those two guides, workouts/guides, in the first email from us. Don't worry about me blowing up your email. I really hate that shit. So I literally send like one email to all the subscribers a month, just checking in, seeing how you're doing, saying hi, telling you what's up. So you're not going to get a bunch of emails from me. I hate that shit myself, so I'm not going to do it to you. I'm not going to try to sell you, cold sell you shit through email. I think that's bullshit. I just like to be able to reach out, tell you what I'm doing, tell you what's up, and share things, random things. Things that I dream about. Anyway, also, if you're interested in some online personal training, you can reach out to me personally, Nate, at executivefitllc.com or on Facebook at executivefitllc. If you have questions that you'd like to hear answered on the podcast, reach out. admin@executivefitllc.com is the email to send your questions to. That is admin@executivefitllc.com. Send me your questions and we'll get them answered on air.